Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah. Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is hump day. Yay! And, switching some things around a little bit just this once. And our Tech Thursday guru was gracious enough to do that for us today. So we have him today instead of tomorrow. So, see, got to keep you all on your toes. Anyway, Burton Kelso from Integral, welcome back to G's Power Hour. How are you today?
I'm doing good. You're the one that forced me to show up on Wednesday instead of Thursday.
I forced you. You can't even go there. that was for humor purposes only.
I knew I'd make you laugh, man. That's why I said it.
The man that knows how to run my show better than me. But anyway, how's it going?
It's going good. Yeah, believe it or not, here in Kansas City, we got Florida temperatures. It's a high of 89 today, and we had a high of 105 yesterday. So,
we've been getting those heat indexes too. It keeps me running to the gym for the pool and keeps me saying, how much does that cost again? I think I might want to get one of those things.
Whatever, that Florida heat, all you need to do is stand outside for an hour in the shade and sweat, and then you keep that weight, you know?
Yeah. Have you heard of heat stroke?
Yeah. That's why I said the shade. I didn't say stand in direct
Child,
sunlight.
Please. You think you can't have a heat stroke in the shade?
I know.
See, you don't know nothing about heat. Anyway,
no, I don't.
but you do know about cybersecurity, because one thing I have been a little negligent in promoting this is National Cybersecurity Month, correct?
Yep. It's Internet Safety Month, but you know, June is
Internet
like safety
month. What? Y'all got all these different months. Don't you have a cybersecurity month too or something?
Yeah, I think that's in
later
in January. But,
oh,
I think
mine.
It's
January. Early
but
in the year.
Both, because I think June is just safety month in general. So about 2005, they decided to add the Internet Security Safety Month on there. So the government, you know, they do how they do their proclamations and stuff like that. They declared that, you know, it's Internet Safety Month. So you're right, because obviously it deals with cybersecurity. So, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
so
it's like Internet Safety Month. You're both.
So the Internet Safety Month, is it all about the software? Is it the hardware too? Give us a little insight in terms of what we should be on our, P's and Q's about.
Right. So Internet Safety Month involves both hardware and software, because both hardware and software drive the Internet. So it comes down to the safety of your modem that you use to connect to the Internet. It comes down to your router and what you need to do in order to make sure that your router is protected. Because believe it or not, you know, it seems like it's always cybersecurity in the news, but Chinese, well, not necessarily the Chinese government, but just Chinese hackers are starting to target U.S.-based routers. And I think one of the reasons being a lot of those routers are made over in China. So it would be easy if you didn't change default settings on your router for criminals to get access to it. But also, G, internet safety deals with how you are keeping safe on the internet as far as making sure that your passwords are safe and secure, how you're interacting on social media. Are you sharing personal information on social media where criminals can get access to your data? It's also being aware of which web browsers you should be using to stay safe on the internet. Also, it deals with how are you keeping your kids safe on the internet well, because cyber criminals are starting to target children as far as extorting them for money or just cyberbullying them. And, of course, it doesn't necessarily have to always cyber criminals, but just their normal classmates that are that may be cyberbullying. And then, unfortunately, and we had to deal with this morning, the school threats that children are making on social media as far as they're going to come shoot up the school, they're going to blow up the school. And actually, our boys' summer school classes were canceled today because someone made a threat to one of the schools, not even in our city, but like in the city next to ours. So they said, well, we're just going to shut the whole thing down completely. Now, they caught the perpetrator, but at the same time, a lot of threats are being made on social media. So, I mean, all of that encompasses Internet Safety Month because there are threats both on the internet and in the real world as far as what people have to deal with. And then finally, it also has to deal with internet stalking, because I know earlier we talked about AirTags and how people are using AirTags to track people. And then, of course, you know, you've got online abusers that find people on social media and stalk them too. So it's a big ball of twine when we talk about internet safety. And obviously, you know, it's evolved from 2005 how the internet affects our day-to-day lives, both online and realistically. So I think, obviously, it's a good idea that they keep promoting this holiday in order to make people aware of all the dangers that are online.
Have we made ourselves more vulnerable to this since COVID hit?
No. I think people have turned to the internet more because of COVID, because of social distancing. And I think because people became bored during the pandemic, obviously they turned their frustrations on the internet, which, you know, another thing that I forgot to mention as far as Internet Safety Month, we didn't even talk about all the fake news that is being promoted online and social media that obviously is causing problems with race and other things in our society. So, I just think that more people are taking their frustrations out online. And then since we're more of an online community in this digital society, it just has more of an impact on our real life, personal lives than it would, say, 5 or even 10 years ago.
Okay. So what tips do you have for us today, Burton? Let's see what you got.
We got a whole ton of them.
I know you do. I know you
An
do.
Hour's worth.
I'm just going to sit here and let you roll. Go right ahead.
Well, the first thing that people really need to understand about cyber threats and the internet is that, and I know I've said this before on the show, but 99% of cyber threats are require user interaction. So, you know, I've told you this and I've told people listening this is that, you know, all of your devices are safe from all of the major cyber threats that are out there, meaning your phone, your computer, your network, all of that stuff. But a lot of it requires user interaction. Now, you've got the 1% of threats that are out there, but for most intents and purposes, it's someone clicking on a link that really gets them in trouble. And that just happened in our neck of the woods, probably about a couple of months ago. One of the counties in this in our area, the county got infected with ransomware. And it was all because some employee clicked on something that they weren't supposed to. So fortunately, they had backups. They were able to restore. They didn't have to pay the ransom threat. So all is good. But at the same time, law states that if you suffer a data breach and, you know, more than 500 names are exposed, then you've got to report it to the media. I mean, that's just standard practice for the most part. So with that in mind, as far as keeping safe in the cyber world and on the internet, you just need to make sure that, number one, you need to stop using regular old passwords and start using what's called passphrases. Now, a passphrase is just basically two words that are put together to form a secure password. So if you were to use, like, the angry donkey, that could be considered a passphrase because it's a sentence. It's, well, I guess donkeys are pretty angry, but it's not something that you would normally use. So that would make a good passphrase. Other passphrases could be used, like the sweltering coffee mug, or the purple rock, or just like angry chicken. So you use passphrases, it just forces you to come up with creative words that you can use for a password. And passphrases normally are easy to remember, but they're hard for criminals to guess. And what most people use as far as passwords are things that are close to us. Like we'll use our birthdays or our spouse's birthdays, or if we've got an animal at home, we'll use the animal's name, or kids or grandkids. And a lot of that stuff we're sharing on social media already. So it just makes it easy for criminals to gather that information. And, gee, I know you don't play these games on social media, but sometimes if you have those questions like, what did I look like 10 years ago, or where did I go to high school? Those are phrases that people would use to fill out their, to guess what their password was if they forgot it. And so criminals are aware of that. If they can figure out, you know, what high school you went, or what your nana's middle name was, or what her middle name is, it makes it easy for criminals to reset passwords for accounts and commandeer them. So that's why passphrases are the best practice, because, you know, it's unlikely that you're going to use the angry donkey in a post on social media unless you actually encounter an angry donkey. So, but
do you have one of those, by the way? It just seems like you're attached to that one.
No, the closest I've come to the angry donkey is the angry horse. When I went to Louisville, Kentucky a couple of years ago, there were retired Kentucky Derby winners on this farm, and we were trying to pose next to the horses, and the horses kept trying to bite us. And the lady didn't tell anyone at first, but yeah, these horses were like, you know, they like act like they wanted to pose with you. And then when you got close and turned your back, man, they were coming for you. So that's the closest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Luckily, they were
all right.
Trample you. So, but the other thing I was going to mention too, because sometimes people have a problem with passphrases. There's an actual website called useapassphrase.com where when you visit the site, it will automatically generate a four-word passphrase. But you can really just use two of the words that are being used on the screen. So, for example, at the website on useapassphrase.com, they have four words like mollusk utility sessions argument. According to the site, it's going to take about 4 billion centuries for a criminal to figure out what that password is. But what you can do to make it a little bit easier for you, you could just take two of those words. So maybe you can use mollusk sessions or utility sessions or augmented mollusk, but you get the drift. You know, so but you need to use.
Well, a couple of questions. Should you write these past phrases down somewhere, number one? Number two, should you use these past phrases over multiple accounts, like more than once?
Yeah, the challenge is that you would have to come up with a new passphrase for all of your online accounts. And as far as how you store them, you've got multiple ways. You can write them down the old-fashioned way. There was a customer that we did on, well, we still do on-site work for. They had an old, outdated dictionary that they wrote all the company passwords in. And it was just like a normal book on the shelf. And so anytime they needed a a password, they would just say, okay, well, email is, it was all written in the back of the book. So they had it all listed out, mm-hmm. but, you know, looking at the dictionary, you would know it would be a book of passwords. Because, I mean, it was just this ratty old dictionary that you would never pick up. But most people want to use a password manager, like LastPass or 1Pass, or some people just save them in their browser, like in Chrome mm-hmm. or Edge or Safari. So that way, when you visit the website, it'll just pop up the passphrase, and you click, and then it'll log you in automatically. So, yeah, but you definitely need to have them stored somewhere so that you can easily get access to them when you want to log into your favorite website.
Okay. So, because I see that often, like, especially with my phone. Do you want to save this particular password? And I don't know. I always hit never. I just like, yeah. No.
Save it.
I don't know. Huh?
Save it. It's going to make your life easier.
And I know it'll make it easier, but if it makes it easier for me, it might make it easier for someone else. That's, you know, my paranoia kicking in, I guess.
I know, but the thing that and here's something else that we can talk about with internet safety is that, you know, all those websites, say your email address, and like if you stored stuff on Dropbox and OneDrive and any of those cloud storage services, mm-hmm. all that data encrypted in the cloud. So even if a criminal were to, say, break into, let's just say, Yahoo's computers or even Microsoft's computers, all that data scrambles. And it basically takes your password to unscramble that data. Now, when criminals get into, like, social media accounts and email accounts and even, like, Apple or any other cloud service, the criminal is able to get that information because they have that user's password. It's not like they hacked into Microsoft or something. They just said, oh, yeah, we got G's password. We know what it is. And then they put it in, and then they got access to your stuff. So if you, you know, get brave at some point and decide you want to hit yes on that password option, just keep in mind that it's encrypted up in the cloud. So, you know, even though it's in the cloud, no criminal is going to be able to access it because data is scrambled. And it would take them years to unscramble that data to get access to your information and your password. So hopefully that gives you some peace of mind.
Okay. So what's our next tip?
I guess not. Hey, you're like, oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I don't know. Me and Tech, we're still battling it out. But anyway, what's the next tip, Burton?
Web browsers are kind of a interesting thing because, and I have to ask this, what web browser are you using or that you normally use to surf the internet? And don't worry if you tell me, it doesn't mean people are going to be able to, you know, get your stuff. So I use Chrome all the time.
Yeah, I use Chrome. I started using Chrome. Maybe it was you that told me it was, I guess, more security tied up in Chrome than some of the other browsers. I've since then have had other people say, well, use, oh, goodness, I can't even remember the one, but to use some other ones. And then the computers, it seems, tend to like, push you more toward Microsoft Edge.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Okay.
So the thing,
but is it more secure? That's my question.
Well, the thing you have to worry about with browsers is that, like, the big ones, like Safari, Edge, and Chrome, are mm-hmm. all owned by big tech companies. So obviously Google is, you know, most people consider them a search engine company, but, you know, they're more of a marketing company, selling information on to other people so that they can better market to you. But you'd be surprised that Edge and, to a little point, Safari are kind of along that same line. Safari, not as much, but Edge and Chrome are the big collectors of data. So if you're concerned about, you know, your data being sold to third-party vendors, the browsers to avoid would be Edge and Chrome. But they have, and I don't know how secure they are, but if you're wanting a little bit more, quote-unquote, security, that your information is not going to be sold to third-party vendors, Browsers like Brave, Opera, and even DuckDuckGo has its own browser, and supposedly those are a little bit more secure than using, you know, the big three. But at the very least, let's just say, well, you know, I can avoid those ads, and I'm going to go ahead and continue to use Chrome. At the very least, you mm-hmm. just need to make sure that your browser is up to date. So Chrome will update itself, Edge and Safari, but every now and then it's never a bad idea to go into settings just to verify that you are using the latest version of Chrome or the latest version of Edge or Safari. So, and the reason being, if you've got an outdated browser, then it just makes your browser more prone to attack if you happen to visit a malicious website. So, for example, I don't know if you saw the news, but Microsoft has finally given up the ghost on Internet Explorer because it hasn't been supported since 2015, actually 2014, and people just keep hanging on to it because they like it. But the problem is it makes you a little bit more vulnerable if you go to a website with Internet Explorer because it means criminals can get in and access it. So,
Okay, I see. Okay.
But for you, and Chrome, because I know you're an Android user, it definitely would help make your Internet experience safer if you use Chrome on your Android phone and you use Chrome on your desktop computer and or your laptop computer, and you set it up so that you have Chrome, and which you already do. You've already got a Google profile. But just set it up so that it stores all that information in your Google profile. Because I do it, and it just makes it a lot easier to log into email from my phone or from my computer. And it, like I said, it is secure. So just something to throw out there for you.
Okay.
If
now,
you're
I need to ask you a question maybe. I know you have this large list, but I wanted to ask you about – oh, goodness, it escaped me. Never mind. I got senioritis today. But
– It'll come back.
Well, it'll come back. What's your next tip?
This one would be visit only secure websites. When you shop online, I always just tell people, stick with the mainstream website. You know, I mean, you're not going to get hacked if you go to Amazon or – Yahoo or, I'm getting senioritis too. But, like, if you went to Apple or Microsoft's website or any of the big news network sites, you're not going to – those sites aren't getting hacked because there's a lot riding on your big tech websites because they don't want that reputation of having being a website that's dangerous to individuals. Now – the challenge runs into hobbyists, as I will call them. So I don't know how this happens. I know a ton of quilters. And so quilters are always looking for new patterns to download and quilt on their Bernina or Husqvarna sewing machines. And so that puts them at risk because they're going to these small mom-and-pop webs, potentially puts them in danger. And the other danger as far as the websites are concerned for small businesses is you really need to lock down and secure your small business website because criminals are targeting those because they know most mom and pops are using potentially unsecure tools to build their websites like WordPress or Squarespace or Wix or Shopify, and people use weak passwords on those sites. So criminals count on it, and we've had a ton of customers have their websites hacked. And the challenge is if you're doing work with a small business and you visit one of those non-HTTPS websites to, like, buy a new pattern or maybe there's some cute candle you want to purchase, it could potentially infect your computer in what's called drive-by hacking. So I always tell people, you know, unless you know the business really, really well and the owner really, really well, you're better off just sticking to your mainstream websites when you surf the web because you don't know what type of maintenance somebody is doing with their website or if they're even maintaining it, you know?
Okay. And I remember one of the question I was going to ask you now, if I can do that now before I forget it again. One time we were talking about some of these antivirus software, and you were saying one time that you, I just wanted to clarify, I wasn't sure if I heard what I heard correctly, that you don't necessarily need to purchase some of these antiviral software products because there's already antiviral, security in your computers when you purchase them. Is that correct?
That's correct, and especially in this day and age with the whole Kaspersky antivirus thing in Russia where the FCC is like, well, you know, don't recommend that you use Kaspersky. The thing that most people don't understand about those third-party antivirus softwares is a lot of them are manufactured overseas. Now, that's not to say that Kaspersky has some ties to the Russian government, but the thing that most people need to be aware about are the privacy laws in other countries. So, for example, Norton is made in the U.S., and so we're familiar with what the privacy laws in the U.S. are. But AVG, which is a popular free antivirus, and the same thing with Avast, those are made overseas. So the challenge is that if you have soft, and it's supposedly it's scanning all your files to see if they're safe, I mean, do you really know if they're scanning all the files in your computer to see if they can find any important information? I mean, that's the biggest challenge. So the fact that sometimes your third-party antivirus software will slow down your devices, and the fact that both Windows and Macintosh computers already come with built-in antivirus. In this day and age, you really don't need a third-party antivirus to protect your computer.
So how are they, if this is the case, is it that most people aren't aware and that's why they're still, you know, in business? Or is there a purpose for any of them at any time?
Well, there's really no purpose anymore. There used to be because back before Windows 7 came out in 2009, and the same thing with Mac OS, you know, that's almost been, 20 years ago? It's just the old school of thought that you need some type of antivirus on your computer. And some of that is the IT professionals that are pushing that belief out. Some of it was when Windows Defender came out, It just sucked. I mean, Microsoft threw it in there, and it didn't really catch anything. But obviously times have changed, and Microsoft has had to step up to the plate. And same thing with Apple. But it's just that old mindset of you need antivirus on your computer. And it kind of goes back to the days where you needed to defrag your hard drive and do tune-ups on your computer. I mean, that's non-existent stuff now. And, of course, you know, old trends.
So I don't need to defrag?
Heck no. You sure don't.
Okay. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
then I need to get to another question then about if I don't need to defrag, what do I need to do? We'll get to it in a minute. I'm going to let you take a break because you've been going for a while. I appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. We're here with Burton Kelso of Integral. It is Internet Safety Month here on D's Power Hour and everywhere else. The number, if you have questions for Burton, is 516-387-1944, 516-387-1944. D's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back. Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com.
Good
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Yes, it's not your imagination. You aren't mixed up. We are doing tech today. It is, it's Tech Thursday on Wednesday. Let's just put it like that. And we're here with Burton Kelso of Integral. It is Internet Safety Month. The number, if you have questions, is 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944. Let me not interrupt you anymore with other questions. Let's keep on track. What you got, Burton?
Well, you don't want to ask your – you too embarrassed to ask your question?
No. I just know, like you said, there's a lot to talk about when it comes to Internet safety. So, go ahead.
So, someone – I was doing a presentation last night, and someone asked me about VPNs or virtual private networks. So basically a VPN is a piece of hardware or software that creates a secure tunnel so that when you send communications over the Internet, people can't peep in and see what's going on. So VPNs have really popped up in the news because over in Russia, if people are really wanting to see what's going on in the world, then they would have to use a VPN to get to see what news is coming out of the West. And this also happens in China, too, because both the Russian and Chinese government block a lot of the Western websites that they don't want people to see. So, for example, Facebook can't see in Russia or China, or a lot of the large social media sites that are popular here in the West. They just don't get access to. Like China has its own social media channel, Russia does too, but if you want to get around that and stay safe, then that's when you would employ a service like a VPN. And so the way a VPN works, especially on our end, is you would download a piece of software, and there's many manufacturers of VPNs like TunnelBear and NordVPN, but people use them to keep their business and even their personal data safe. So let's say, you were going to travel to flyover country, which was here, and you needed to work on some stuff in the Orlando airport. Mm-hmm. So rather than hopping on the Orlando airport Wi-Fi, and just surfing without protection, you would enable your VPN first. So that way, if you were sending correspondence back and forth, anyone that would be trying to snoop in on your computer, the VPN would basically block them out. And so in this day of remote working, a lot of businesses are requiring their remote workforce to utilize a VPN so that they're not spilling company secrets. But again, the problem with a VPN is although it keeps your data safe and secure, it doesn't, doesn't stop people from clicking on stuff that they're not supposed to click on. So if you went to the online thrift store and that was based out of Duluth, Minnesota, and it wasn't put together professionally and you're behind a VPN, if you click on some link on that website, it takes you to a bad website. A VPN is not going to protect you for the virus that could be downloaded on your computer. It's basically used in the form of privacy. I mean, that's the whole point, is to make sure that the information that you're sending back and forth isn't being seen by criminals. Now, on the flip side of the VPN, a lot of people are using Wi-Fi hotspots, which are, you can turn your phone into a hotspot so you can surf the Internet. Now, that's more even than the VPN, because when you use a mobile hotspot from your smartphone or if you just have a hotspot device, it's a two-way connection directly with your cellular company and your device. There's no way that a criminal could get access to that information because they would have to log in with they would have to break into AT&T or Verizon or T-Mobile to see what's going on with your data.
Okay. The tech dummy is real confused right now, eyes glazed over, all that kind of stuff. But so let me ask you this, without, revealing a whole lot. I have a side gig and they require us to log into, I want to say another program or whatever, but
right.
That's supposed to be more secure. Is that a VPN?
It is. Yeah, it definitely is. Because if you're working remotely and you have to log into like a website, then that would definitely be a VPN.
Okay. All right.
One of the reasons one of the reasons why companies are requiring VPNs, because obviously when you're at home, you're working wirelessly. So I'm assuming that you are.
They actually require us to be hardwired.
Oh, you know why? Because hardwired is more secure than wireless. Because if you're hardwired in your router, there's no way that someone's going to be able to see your signal unless they like break it. Since most people are working wirelessly, like I work wirelessly, there's always that chance that somebody could find our Wi-Fi network.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, I do too. I mean, that's actually the only time I work wired is when I'm doing that work. Does working with a VPN, just curious, make you more prone to technical glitches and whatnot? Are there issues with VPNs?
No, the only issue with the VPN is that it can definitely mask your location or your IP address. So sometimes you have to be careful when you enable a VPN because a lot of times it'll say you're over in Europe. So if you were to go to Google obviously is tracking where you are VPN-wise. And so let's say that your VPN says that you're in the Czech Republic. It's a good chance that your browser will come up in Russian or Czechoslovakian based on your location. So if you use a VPN, and for you, you would probably tell it, well, I want to go in the U.S. and browse. So it would probably put you over here in flyover country rather than saying that you're in Central Florida. So does that make sense?
Yeah, so can someone else that you're communicating on the other end tell whether or not you are using a VPN?
No, they can't. And VPNs are sometimes what a lot of hackers will do if they try to break into someone's network. They'll use a VPN that will mask their location. So maybe they're trying to break into some government entity, and they're like at the coffee shop next door, but they would log on to a VPN or use someone else's network to make that break, because then whoever's tracking that won't know where the attack is coming from.
Okay.
But
I was curious because someone that I was communicating with accused me of being they accused me of being out of the country. So when you mentioned that, that's why I was curious.
Yeah, that's, if you were on a VPN or sometimes in rare instances, your internet provider may say that you're in a different location than what you are. But, I mean, that shouldn't be a big deal.
Okay.
It's not like you're a hack or anything like that. It's just like, well, it says
well,
that
it's a
you're,
big deal to this person.
I can
tell you.
Yep. You'll love this. We've got a customer who's super paranoid, and they live in a small town outside of the KC area. And so she's smart enough with technology to be dangerous. And if she looks to see where her IP address is, if it doesn't say that it's coming directly from that small town, she freaks out and thinks that some criminals got into her computer.
Freaks
out. So what I had to explain to her, and it's the truth, is that your internet company will, your internet address changes constantly. And meaning your IP address. So that's one of the reasons why criminals can't really get access to your computer, because you have what's called a dynamic IP address. So basically your location bounces all over the place, so criminals can't zero in on your device and then get into it. So if her doesn't show the small town, then she's like, oh my gosh, it shows that I'm in the next town over. It must be a hacker. I'm like, no. As long as you're like within a radius of where you're connected, then you're good because that's the way your internet provider works. But, you know, now that her computer was connected, you know, say from St. Louis, you know, versus Kansas City, then that may be a problem. But, and the same thing with you. If you logged in and went to a website to show your IP address, like there's a website called IP Chicken where you can find out what your current IP address is, and you were logged in and it showed that you were in Miami as opposed to Central Florida, then that would be a problem.
Okay.
But ultimately, no big deal where you're located, you know. So.
All right. So what's your next tip, Burton?
So we're gonna talk about password managers again.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm joking. You really need to use one. Cause
I just change it. If I forget it, you know, I change it. And that's another thing. I'm also required to, it seems like every 3 months with this gig, required to change my password. I'm like, dang, I had enough trouble trying to figure out one 3 months ago.
That's true. That is standard quarterly to change your passwords. Because the reason being is because data breaches happen all the time. And companies aren't always forthcoming as far as if they were breached or not. So it's not necessarily, you know, their system. It's like the password that's floating on the dark web. And so criminals are, especially for larger companies, they're always looking for the weak links. I mean, because it's not some casual group of hackers that are doing this. You're talking about large criminal organizations that are just gathering data all the time. And so they're collecting, I mean, they basically have a dossier of information about a specific company or specific individuals. So, you know, they look and say, oh, yeah, G fell for a breach, and here's her list of commonly used passwords, and, oh, she's working here. And so they would, you know, email credentials and your passwords to get into your account. So they force you to change it all the time to make sure that you're using something that may not be on the dark web.
Yeah, because I get real tempted, you know, I try to be nice, but I get real tempted to do something like you make me sick or leave me alone or something like that.
You know, they're floating around on the dark web. You know, my password is password or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's too funny. So the other thing I was going to mention about a password manager, and then I'll quit beating the dead horse, is that password managers will alert you if your password has been leaked on the dark web. So, like, if you started saving your passwords in Google, then at some point Google, if your password was leaked, will come up and say, hey, did you know that your password is on the dark web and you need to make sure that you what's the word I'm looking for? You need to make sure that you change this password. Because what happens is that, like I said, large-scale data breaches will occur, and you won't have any idea that secure password that you used is now on the dark web. So that's why password managers are important too, because it's that alert saying, hey, you probably didn't know this, but yeah, the angry donkey password that you use is on the dark web. So, you know, you need to change that. But
I bet the angry donkey will be on the dark web now.
It probably already is. Someone thought of that and said, man, that's a good one. No one's going to think about the angry horse or the angry donkey. And, you know, it probably is. That's too funny. But
yeah,
anyway.
Maybe you're going to have to go with the angry squid or something now. I don't know.
That's a good one. You should use that. I mean, you can't because you just said it.
I know.
You know, use another sea animal, like the angry orca, dolphin.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, so one of the other things that you want to do as far as online safety is to check privacy settings of your social media account, because you're almost non-existent on social media, so it doesn't affect you. But
that's not exactly true. I'm no, who can I think of? I was going to say Beyonce or something like that. I don't know. I'm not of that caliber. You know, my name comes up every now and then.
You're not on Instagram, are you?
Not really. I'm kind of sort of. I have an Instagram account. I don't know how I got it, but I do. I did create a name on there.
Oh, my God. You have an Instagram account, but that just means you have an account. That doesn't mean you use it, you know? So I'm just saying. And that's all good. You don't have to be an Instagram person.
Instagram is linked to something else. Right?
Facebook.
Okay. And I think that's why I ended up with an Instagram account, or either I had it first, I don't know. But every now and then it comes up with something that I'm trying to do. And it's like, you know, you want to post it on Instagram or something, some information that I need to get and get it off the Instagram. But I don't really like use it, not on a regular basis.
I know you don't. But anyway, what I was going to say is that there are a lot of Instagram accounts that are being hacked now, or not hacked, being duplicated.
Oh, jeez.
And with social media, it can be a big deal, and this is a true story. So a couple of weekends ago, we had a customer call who has a Facebook account, but not only does she have a personal account, she got a business account. So her Facebook account got hacked, and not only did her account get hacked, criminals got away with about $6,000 of money that they stole from her credit card account that was linked with her Facebook account. So you really have to make sure that you are beefing up the passwords on your social media accounts, because you can be targeted in two ways. And not everyone gets scammed out of money, but a lot of small business owners forego having a website and set up like a business social media account. And so if they get that account hacked, then they're pretty much, well, out of business online, because if your account is hacked, then there's really no way to get it back, because, you know, there is no tech support from Meta, which is Facebook and Instagram and some of the other accounts out there. So
Is that why you see like multiple accounts for someone and some of them look like they haven't been touched for years? Is that because you can't go in and alter stuff on it?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Because a criminal in the form of a robot program on the internet set up a fake account, and they basically use existing accounts to duplicate so that they can look at your friend list and then dupe your friends into clicking on a link that they are not really supposed to. So people are like, well, I don't understand why they do it. Or they're like, oh, my account's been hacked. It's like, well, your account hasn't been hacked. It's been duplicated. But criminals are always looking for new victims. And so the easiest way to get victims is to create fake accounts or fake social media accounts and then send out alerts via messaging to get people to click on links that they have no business doing. So that's, you know, that's the big thing. But the other thing that you can do to secure your accounts is if you go to any of your social media accounts and go into privacy and settings, you can go in and limit who can see your friends list, but then also too, you can make sure that your account doesn't show up in Google, because people don't realize this, but social media accounts can have a higher engine rating than your own website. So, for example, I mean, I've got a burtoncastle.com website, but if I were to Google it, like I'm Googling right now, I didn't spell Burton right. If I Google it, my website actually comes first, because I'm good at SEO optimization. But the next accounts that come up in Google right after my website or my Twitter account, my LinkedIn account, and then my Facebook account and my Instagram account, and then after that, YouTube. So you really have to make sure that those social media accounts aren't popping up, or making sure that if someone were to click on a link to, say, your Facebook or your Twitter or even your Instagram accounts, they can't see important information about you. Now, it's no big deal if you're connected to friends on social media and they can see stuff about you, but it's the strangers on the Internet that are looking for new victims. You really don't want to Google you and then find out, like, oh, well, they're on, here's where they've been and all this other stuff. You've got to go into settings for your social media accounts to make sure that none of that stuff will pop up in a Google search, because it just makes you more of a victim to criminals if they can easily just find you by Googling you.
Okay. So, yeah.
I mean, you're in a good position.
I just Googled myself, okay, as we were speaking. So the first thing that comes up is my realtor Facebook page.
Right.
And then my realtor.com page, then LinkedIn.
Right.
With that. And so let me ask you something, too. Then there's something that I see every now and then on certain sites where there's like, codes from Retail Me Not. This is like right above my LinkedIn page. What is that?
The link to your Retail Me Not?
No, well, no. I don't know if it's a link to my Retail Me Not, but every now and then when I am searching for something, you'll see like something from like Retail Me Not or something else that hovers above a certain link. Is that like an ad or what is that?
It could be an ad, but because you don't have a profile on Retail Me Not, correct?
I mean, I don't necessarily like publish my, because I have those shopping ads and stuff like that, but I don't necessarily publish those a lot. So
right, it could be, but I mean, Retail Me Not isn't just. I mean, that's really not going to put you at risk. It's really For most people, it's really the social media stuff because of all of the potential password information that they're sharing and the potential information that they share people can cause them harm. So, I mean, those are the things that you really have to worry about. You don't want strangers being able to stalk you and find out personal information about you. Like a LinkedIn profile isn't going to provide that much information, but you know, other sites, yeah, you really got to worry about that.
Okay. I keep taking you off. We may have to do a part two because I keep taking you off course. So what's the next tip that you have, Burton?
One of the things you want to do as far as internet safety is concerned is to do be preventative as far as your online security. So, you know, people wonder about where did that email come from or how I'm getting these robocalls. So there's a website called haveibeenpwned.com, and we've talked about this before, that you can go and find out how much information or if your email or password have been leaked in a large-scale data breach. Because if you're preventative, then you can be of the mindset of, well, I'll check, and then if I see that my information has been leaked, then I'll go ahead and change my passwords. But Have I Been Pwned, which is www.have, the letter I, then B as in boy, E as in Edward, N as in Nancy, and then N as in Nancy, D as in dog.com. So Have I Been Pwned. .com. And if you visit this website, then essentially what happens is that you can put your email address or you can put your phone number in or you can put your password in to find out if your password's on the dark web, if your email's been leaked in a large-scale data breach, and you can also put your phone number in to find out if your phone number is floating around on the dark web. And that way you can kind of say, well, I know this is out here, or I wasn't aware that I was part of this large-scale data breach. Maybe I need to get LifeLock or some other service to protect myself from criminals that want my information. Don't realize that criminals sit on this information for years. I was talking to a reporter, and she's had the same phone number. She lived in she lived in Gainesville, but she had her information or started getting phone calls recently from a phone number that she's had forever. So they sit on it for a while before they act on it. But it's better to be proactive to find out if you were part of a large-scale data breach or if, you know, you've never been pwned before.
Okay. I just actually found something that my name that Princess has on here.
Really? Are you still Googling yourself?
Yeah, while I was talking, you talked about, you know, you were talking about what comes up, and I was like, let me see. So it's been a minute. So
right.
Yeah.
But yeah, but you really have to be proactive. The other part of that too is, you know, you can get your free credit check, what, 4 times a year, to make sure that, you know, nothing malicious has gone on with your credit rating, and then also. Like apps like Credit Karma, Mint, they allow you to kind of keep track of your credit rating to ensure that there's not been any bad reviews or that criminals haven't really taken the time to try to use your Social Security number to go out and buy a new boat or a new car. So, you really have to be proactive in this day and age because, like I said, companies aren't forthcoming. You know, they're supposed to report that they, you know, that they've had a data breach, but most of them won't do it. They won't do it. So you got to take it into your own hands to make sure that your information isn't floating out there.
Well, before we go, like I said, we may need to do a part two. You let me know. Father's Day is coming up. How's fatherhood? Mr. Kelso?
Father is doing good. I don't know if you saw the post online with my youngest son, Caleb. He had some foot difficulties in his younger years. He had Kehler's disease, which the bones don't fuse together the way they're supposed to. So he had it in both feet. Most kids only have it in one. So, I mean, he's doing but, you know, over the weekend, we finally got him on a bike, and he was able to ride. So if you if you haven't seen that post on social media, we've got video of him actually starting in place and pushing off and actually starting to pedal. But it took a little effort. And, you know, he had ridden before with training wheels, but now it's time to get him an adult bike and have him ride so that, you know, so he can get better exercise because he hasn't been able to be active as much, you know, with his little Kehler's disease. And but he's healing and, of course, he's starting to become a little bit more active now, and so that's, you know, to me that would be the best. That is the best Father's Day gift, to be able to know you were able to help him overcome this challenge, and the fact that he pushed himself to want to be able to ride a bike. So, you know, that definitely is going to be a bigger journey in his life when he overcomes challenges. That, you know, he may throw a little fit every now and then, but the fact that he finally was able to calm down and overcome that, that's kind of one of the greatest gifts that you can receive as a father, is making sure that you're developing kids that are able to push through any challenges they have in life.
Well, God bless you all for that. We appreciate it. And thanks for the time. Thanks for taking the time. And like I said, let me know if we need a part two, because we probably did not cover hardly anything. But what you did bring to the table, we greatly appreciate. Thanks so much, Burton. Talk to you soon.
No problem. No problem.
And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks for being here. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
gonna make it all right.
Tell me.